Hi, this is Brent Barber, the founding director of the Bicycle Film Festival, and this is Resonance FM. Ride on until the break of dawn, because you don't stop.
This is The Bike Show on Resonance 104.4 FM. Thanks, Art Rocker Massive, over there, putting away his records. And welcome to The Bike Show, and welcome to Andy Cox, who is sitting across the desk from me. And we're going to be talking a little bit later in the show about the Symphony for Singing Bicycles. You all right, Andy?
Very well, thank you.
Did you ride over?
Unfortunately, I was unable to ride over, but I'm not sure we should really be going into that on the radio.
Okay, well, I might return to that later. I'll just check what the story was when we're off air. But before we get into the Symphony for Singing Bicycles, we are returning to the theme of bicycling and poetry, which we covered last year. And we're returning to Martin Newell, musician, poet, horticultural assassin, amongst other things, anarchist, and general good fellow, good company, certainly is good company. Martin is a resident of Wivenhoe, up on the North Essex coast, and last year he began running a series of bicycle and walking tours of his neighbourhood, really, the sort of 10 or 15 miles around Wivenhoe, called Spoken Word, where he would take a small group of walkers or bicyclists around and treat them to a little bit of poetry. And we covered it on the show last year, and it was an amazing success. And he's back again for Spoken Word 2007, and a new ride on the programme this year is a ride across the fields to Bentley Green. And I started off a fairly windy and rainy Saturday afternoon by asking Martin what route we'd be taking.
It's my own route over farmland, because I know the farmers. I mean, they are footpaths, they're not very well known. When they don't have those little posts with stupid yellow arrows, but you know you can traverse them, then I'll take them where I can. It means I can get nearly 5 or 6 miles without actually going on a road, which is great.
And the destination is?
Great Bentley Green, the biggest village green in England. So we're going from Wivenhoe to Great Bentley Village Green, mostly over farmland, over some very little lanes, and then just one moderately busy B road. Lots of ponds, quite a lot of woods, yeah.
Well, let's get going.
All right. I'm going to do this poem, because that is my job. Tilty, Wimbish, Stebbing, Shopland, Chipping Ongar, Ingatstone, all the market towns and hamlets on the rivers Crouch or Colne, west of Walton, east of Easton, Shallow Bowls to Hanningfield, London's Breadbin, Lungs and Love Nest, Beaches, Birdland, Wood and Weald, Essex, Shaxes, Sheaves and Shield, here the horsemen met for racing, here the highwaymen were hung, here the painter saw the skyline, here the tide would poke its tongue, in among the samphire saltings, while the sun set sea alight. Here the smugglers moved the Malmsey up the creek in dead of night, customs cutter out of sight. Saucy, sexy, seaside Essex, driest place in British Isles, where the robbers took retirement when the Sweeney shut the files. Home of rock and naughty rhythms, pirates, paramounts and Procol Harum, Hot Rods, Ian Dury, Dr. Feelgood, they were local, with Lee Brillo on lead vocal. Epic Essex, best for bike rides, liberally laced with lanes, pubs to punctuate the pedalling, flower baskets hung on chains, coastal Essex, secret rivers, heron-haunted waterland, where the silver light in autumn lingers for a saraband on the shingle and the sand. Here are tales of long-dead writers, ghostly bikers, missing planes, council gardens, scrapyards, thatches, cricket matches seen from trains, yellow fields in dazzled springtime varnished by a Van Gogh sky, blind the copses and the spinneys where the rooks are building high, and the world goes skating by, where the weather-boarded cottage waits in muddy monochrome, nestling with the new commuters and the future coming home. Envious London, stuck in traffic, simmering its quiet desires, senses Essex, spanning endless, hazier than orchard fires, out beyond those distant spires. Actually, Essex has fewer spires, they have more in the south, but have towers on their churches. And this part of Essex, they tend to be built, we won't see the famous haunted church this time, but it's a right hodgepodge of stuff. All the stone comes from Kent, it's Kent rag, or it's borrowed old sandstone, or it's stuff the Romans left, or it's tiles, medieval tiles. They just bung any old garbage in there, you know. Any old city. It's the bodgery of 700 years is in most of the churches around here. But they have towers rather than spires. The River Colne meanders slow through fecund farmlands, rainy green, a ribbon strewn across the floor of shallow valleys hardly seen or guessed at from the Essex shore. East to Colchester and on, its ullages and spillages, the houses and their secrets tucked in hamlets and the villages around the Chapel Viaduct. To Ford Street, Ford and Bridge it goes, and idles by the Essex Way, strengthened by St Botolph's Brook, it sidles by the road to pay its namesake Roman town a look. Widening there, it picks up speed, skirting fields towards the mill, where it stops to pay a tithe beside the bridge below the hill, before it hurried to the Hythe, haggling with the tide for business when the ship sailed up the Colne, galleys, luggers, barges, smacks, buildings plonked like Toblerone where they once unloaded sacks. Now the new estates are fronting toy town wharfs that dwarf the marshes, Wivenhoe and Brightlingsea, wearing them like false moustaches, edging up the estuary. Right, we're going to have to move because there's an industrial farm vehicle coming at us now. So
I think it's a bit wide. It's got a pretty wide trailer.
Yeah.
Do we need to go back?
We've got
this field of young wheat
on our
left. We wouldn't want to trample on that.
No, this has never happened before, is the...
We better retreat.
Well, I think there's probably a way of doing it.
But come round. He's saying he's asking
I'll probably
us.
I know the guy. He'll be
he's
all right.
Beckoning us on.
Here the Saxon Sea comes hacking while the River Colne expands, Mersey Flats and Cocombe Hills, gazing south to Maplin Sands where the biggest river spills. Now the blood of other rivers, Crouch, Blackwater, Medway, Swale, Mingle, Eddy, dash the shoreline as container cargoes sail round the Thames's yawning jawline. Shimmying up that serpent river go the humble and the great. Other rivers, sons and daughters, while the bouncers on the gate, Kent and Essex, watch the waters. Coal House Point to Richmond Lock, Galleons Reach to Watney's Brewery, Flotsam, Jetsam, Oil and Beer, Hogarth sits with Ian Dury, dreaming Cherry Garden Pier. Underneath that dirty duvet of the sky, the river swells, carrying simple craft to fame in a carillon of bells, drowning others in its shame. Carrying sons of Colne to London with a daubing or a ditty to the busy landing stages and the currents of that city as it has throughout the ages. Serious stuff, that's extra real poetry.
Now we're facing a pretty big black cloud.
Well, it's all going that way.
Well, you reliably informed me that though the forecast was rain, we're 11 miles from the driest
point.
A bit shorter than that now, about 10 miles from the driest place in England, which is Jaywick, actually. Or no, St. Osyth, or to give it its proper name, there's a very ancient priory there, St. Osyth, or as the locals call it, Tozy. That's Tozy Priory, that's quite near Claxton. That's a nice place, but that gets a bit crowded on the roads about holiday. John Betjeman said that Essex was... He talked about the south where he'd come in a shooting break with his dad. But he spoke of Essex as being a sweet, uneventful countryside, mirrored in ponds and seen through gates. And that is exactly when you see this very unspoilt bit, and it'll get even more awesome later on. Because people very often don't believe they are in Essex. I'll see if I can find a Germain bit of poetry for this. Oh, that's another thing. Germain Greer lives here as well. I do have a bit, actually, that's particularly pertinent to this. First bit I read Charlotte when I got the idea for this, I was actually quoting a bit of my own poetry about something that happens to the marshes here. And she said, you ought to do this. You ought to do tours. And that's how this whole thing came about. Because I was spouting a bit of my own poetry while explaining about something, and she said you could do this, and it would be a good way of touring. This would be small-scale, sustainable tourism where you actually learned about your own bit of countryside, and you didn't see it through some dry heritage industry spin where you say you're in Daphne du Maurier country. Not that there's anything wrong with Daphne du Maurier. It's her centenary this year. But if you are going to have Daphne du Maurier cream teas or Catherine Cookson walks or Bram Stoker walks, why can we not get a living artist or a living writer or a living poet, or maybe just even a countryman who can talk for England as I can, and just get him or her to take you round the host countryside and say, look at this, you won't know about this because you might have only glimpsed it from a train. And we do it either by bike or on foot. This is one. It's about my mate Jamie, who's a shipwright, and me. In this old shed and that old shed, the sound of saw and adze was wed to mallet, hammer, chisel, file, and sanding all the while. Old boys who knew these waters here worked hard, spoke little, drank their beer, knew every inlet, creek, and quay from Burnham up to Brightlingsea, told Jamie, shipwright yet to be, I shan't say none, you watch me. No more than that and graft concerns, since this is how the craft was learned in bits and bats and splintered wood, until at last the boy made good. In salt marsh, towpath, shingle, mud, the Essex coast gets in the blood, in sea kale, samphire, gorse and sedge, which grows along the water's edge, till further in the wetland yields to hazy summer mangold fields, the copses, hedgerows, tractor tracks and pallets of potato sacks, and houses hidden in the lanes with Flemish roofs and weather vanes, the churches closed or overgrown, with flowers left in grass unmown, except around a tended tomb, from long-lived bride to long-dead groom. And here a heron, there a lark, a curlew calling in the dark to break the silence in the night when moonlight drapes the boatyard white. And as the tides drain back to sea from many channeled estuary, exposing ribs, remains of ships, the mud devours, it smacks its lips till deeper down and all around, the estuary's digestive sound on windless nights pervades the air when nothing stirs the maidenhair and marker boys stare up and blink to see the stars return their wink. The other thing about Essex is we're living under a vector known to air traffic control, partly privatised I believe now, under our august government, as the Clacton sector. The Clacton sector is the busiest bit of sky in Britain, and if not in Europe. It's massively busy. Everything going to America via Iceland goes over here, all the holiday flights. I've seen it myself. I've seen it come over when I'm coming back from Germany once. I don't do a lot of flying, but it's a hell of a lot of planes. And when you look up on a clear Essex night, you will see nearly as many planes as stars sometimes. So the dark skies people, you know, ought to get on that one, because that's a very strange thing to happen. But you do see shooting stars. Well, of course, August, you get out in the Essex countryside in August, it is pretty dark, and you know, that's a great time if you're a star watcher, which I don't really have time to do, really, because I'm obviously in my garret writing. So we'll move on a bit.
Well, we've just come off the off-road section.
Because we are now on the road. We're on a typical, lovely, quiet Essex lane. This will lead soon enough to a beautiful old church, a freighting church actually, which, like many Essex churches, is quite away from the actual settlement. So, this is usually for two reasons. One, they had the plague, or the Black Death, and the settlement moved away from the church, so the church stayed the church was away from the new settlement. Or, simply that the Lord of the Manor was the guy with the wonga.
Oh, White Van Man has stopped to let us come past. That's very charitable.
It is, thank you.
Now, that's a kind of courtesy from White Van Man that one does not experience in London.
These things about Essex, there's some lovely little horses in there. But, sorry, where was I? Oh, yes.
The churches and the plague.
Churches, yes, they... it was either they had to move away from the church, or they just... The Lord of the Manor put the wonga up for it, and he didn't want to walk so far to get his kid, you know... christened, so you know, he built it near his house and the village, and they had to come out to him. And in places like in Suffolk, you'll sometimes come to a place that's almost a hamlet, a place like Blythburgh, where the church is the size of a cathedral. And this is generally because Suffolk, or parts of this Suffolk especially, was very wool rich. So a place like Lavenham, which is now tiny in terms of population, had all this wealth. Then one day the market's changed, so you're left with a load of very expensive houses, a well-appointed moot hall, a huge church and no industry. And the place got run down for centuries and gradually refurbished by newly wealthy people. And here we have this tiny country church we're coming up to now, which you can probably just see over there. It's actually a private house. We'll come to it in a minute. Oops. Well, this poem about the bike. It's the sound of a bike which is part of the deal, and the well-oiled whir of the sprocket and wheel, for the sound of a bike is just distinctly genteel, and it's holier now than the automobile. To cycle in autumn where cars never go, past workings abandoned to rabbit and crow, with a willow herb wind for the ghost of a train, now the cinder path track is a two-wheel domain. Or when 60-watt sun is a strobe in the oaks, and the frost goes to steam in the blur of the spokes, and the forest edge echoes to birds calling back at the squeak of the brakes over jolts in the track. But when summer sets fire to the heathland again, and the crowds from the town clog the road and the lane, you can travel first class in the quieter terrain on a modest device powered by pedal and chain. From the click of its gears to the crick of its seat, the sound of a bike has a subtler beat in the spin of machinery working its core than any contraption made now or before. I'm getting older and grey. I'll tell you something that happened to me recently. I took my daughter to school, and I walked away, because it's about a mile and a quarter, good country mile to the school. Now she walks, you know, unlike the other kids. You get to the school and it's just jammed up, you know, with cars. Like wasps going into a jar full of sugar, they are, you know. And I cycled back through the suburbs because it's quieter, because then all the same cars are cramming up the streets on the way back. So I cycled back, wibbled my way back through the suburbs. And as I was doing so, this little boy who was late for school, a 5-year-old, with his mum, just pointed at me with my grey hair flying and, you know, drainies on a leather jacket, and goes, "Wow, look at that old man. Look at that
Was the very personable Martin Newell on the Spoken Word Tour, which he is doing every Saturday and Sunday, either by bicycle or by foot, from now until the 1st of July. And just for your diaries, the dates for the bike rides are as follows: the 27th of May, Saturday the 2nd of June, Sunday the 3rd of June, Sunday the 17th of June, and Sunday the 1st of July. So that's five more left in the spoken word season. And it's ticketed from £7 per person. And you can make bookings and pay via the Colchester Arts Centre box office, which is on 01206 500 900. That's 01206 500 900, and I can heartily recommend it. You might have got a little bit of the impression of what it's like from the feature just there, but that's really just only the smallest glimpse. It's absolutely stunning countryside. Andy, have you been up in Wivenhoe before?
No, I've never been to Wivenhoe. It sounds like it would be a quite a good place to go, though.
Yeah, I mean, I was amazed at how kind of far away it seemed, and it was just an hour on the train, and you got kind of rolling fields and forests and wetlands and all the rivers and estuaries and whatnot around there. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's kind of remote Essex. It's good.
It's definitely, it's the bit that people don't think about when they think about Essex. Anyway, we're going to be talking singing bicycles after this. Well, it's very much our hope here on the bike show on Resonance 104.4 FM that come Saturday the 7th of July this year there will be quite a few people in London going, what's that sound? That is the sound of the Symphony for Singing Bicycles. But I have to rewind a little bit. For those people who weren't listening to the show over the last few months, the Symphony for Singing Bicycles is actually better known as Gottfried Wilhelm Reis's Second Symphony. And we've done a couple of shows looking at this. And Andy Cox, who, of course, is in the studio with me today, is, I guess, the artistic and technical advisor for this UK premiere of the symphony.
I wouldn't have thought it was quite that grand. Maybe the tube saw her. That's what I am.
But talk us through, what is a singing bicycle?
Well, basically, you connect a regular bicycle dynamo to a loudspeaker with sufficient impedance and connect the speaker to a length of tube of varying lengths and then pedal. And it's a sound somewhere between an angry motorist and a trombone.
And the idea is that tubes of different lengths create different frequency drones, and all together they make something of a raucous din or something extremely melodic, because we don't know. I have never heard this actually take place, but we are going to put it on the 7th of July. I mean, how do you think it's going to sound?
Well, I was looking at a link on the internet this afternoon about the biclophone, and they used a phrase, cacophonic terror. So I think it could be either that or more quite pleasant. It's difficult to tell because, as you know, we've only really heard one of them at once.
We have heard one, and I'm just going to give a very quick blast of a singing bicycle. This is about 9 seconds of a singing bicycle. So you get the idea. But altogether, what's it going to be like? I mean,
well, that clip sounded rather more pleasant than I remembered it, so maybe it's going to be quite nice. Perhaps like,
well, that was after we'd fixed your dynamo.
Oh, yes, the dynamo fixing is crucial. So that's why I couldn't call myself the technical assistant, Rainer.
Artistic advisor, then. So essentially, we need people to take part in this symphony. And we need a minimum of 12, according to the specifications. But we think that we can do better than that. We think 24, optimum?
Yeah, 24 is the specified number. It says, yes, you say minimum of 12, but I think 24 is what the composer called for.
And if you want to take part, and there have been a few bike show listeners who've already expressed their interest, notably Jonty Semper from up in York, who has offered to take part with his wife on a tandem and very heroically offered to take one of the larger tubes, because the tubes are pretty long, up to the longest length. It's like 180 centimetres, is it?
I think it was 80 centimetres.
80 centimetres, okay. Well, we've got the specifications down. It's not going to cost a lot. If you've got a dynamo and bracket, that's already something you don't have to buy. The speaker is just a fiver. A resonating tube, we hope to be free. You've been doing some research on the resonating tube, because on the prototype, you used a kind of plastic drainage tube, didn't you?
Yes, but I found that the cardboard tube that you get in the middle of rolls of carpet, the right kind of tube is going to work really well.
So we should be able to pick those up free, which is a good bit of recycling. And then it's just the kind of paper overall which everyone's going to wear with the resonant frequency written on the back, and I think we can pick up those up for a couple of quid each.
I think, well, maybe it was fiver, I think.
Yeah, okay. Well, the details are on the Bike Show website. We would love to hear from you if you want to take part. Again, it's on the 7th of July, on the morning. We're starting in Waterloo, and it's the morning of the first day of the Tour de France, a Saturday morning, so you can come and be in a symphony of singing bicycles in the morning and then go and watch the Tour de France in the afternoon. Looking forward to it, Andy.
Yes, it's going to be lovely.
All right, well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Next up is The Clear Spot here on Resonance 104.4 FM. This has been The Bike Show. Thanks for listening. I've got to shout it now. Whoa.
Many thanks to Jack Thurston and The Bike Show. You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. And now it's time for The Clear Spot. And tonight's Clear Spot is presented by the author Jeff Ryman and is a look at rap in Cambodia. The following music and interviews were collated by Jeff in last year in 2006 in Cambodia. And this has been produced by myself, Tom Wolfenden. For the next programme, I Let My Clem Bead, Rap in Cambodia.